saying that says, can't teach an old dog new tricks. And so I found some buttons on my laptop, and I made a PowerPoint, and it's the first one I've ever made. So let's just see what happens. I don't know. It's kind of scary. So I want to introduce you tonight to a certain lady, and can tell you a little bit about her. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. Sounds like an absolutely wonderful person, doesn't she? She's better than riches. She's pleasant all the time and full of peace. She's so good for you that your life will be longer. And with her you have honor. You may have riches. And she's just absolutely better than anything that you have ever desired in your life. So I left out an important part of the description of this lady. The first couple verses are, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. It's a description of wisdom. God wants us to be wise. It's pretty clear. There's a lot of verses that talk about wisdom and walking wisely on the earth. All the more important since, would you say, the days are short and the times are evil? Is that what you said? There you go, something like that. And it just seems to be getting worse and worse. But Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise. God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But then, oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Again, the source of the wisdom that we're to seek is God versus man's wisdom. So, how do we get wisdom? How do we get knowledge and how do we get understanding? Do we just wake up with it one morning? There it is. Hey, I'm wise. I think not. Lots of schooling, graduate degrees, universities. I'm still not sure you're going to be very wise after that. Could watch the news. Reporters are pretty smart and they're neutral, right? Is that the way it goes? Or at least that's what you're told. Actually, a great source, the debate last night. That was really good. And again tonight. So I wanted to come with a little bit of knowledge tonight, so I did some stalking on Facebook. Yeah, I learned a lot of stuff. Cool things. Not much that's worth sharing with you, though. And I certainly didn't feel any wiser. So our verse tonight is Proverbs 1:7. And so I hope I can get you a little bit started. Many of you have a start already in the proper direction to become more wise. The goal of the book of Proverbs is to help you make wise decisions. It points you in the right directions. Chapter 1, verse 2 through 6 is Solomon introducing the entire book. And he says the goal is to no wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The verse for the month, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's the key verse pretty much for the entire book of Proverbs. And Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and so you think, well, where did he get all his wisdom? And in 1 Kings 4:29 it says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Our verse, the first step to attaining knowledge and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And at times, fear equates to terror and to fright and to dread. And here, the Hebrew word yirah denotes like a reverential trust. Its basis is the love for God. It's the hatred of evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord dreads God's displeasure with you, and it desires his favor. It reveres his holiness, submits to his will, sincerely worships him and seeks to obey his statutes, thus pleasing him and rightly serving him. Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. That's thus the long life. Fear of God versus the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. How do you acquire the fear of the Lord, or reverential trust of him? You can't really fear one in a reverential way unless you know or understand them fairly well. So if you're a believer, if you've put your trust in Christ's sacrifice on the cross, you've understood your sinfulness and your lack of power to gain your own redemption through your own effort, and you understand your destination is the lake of fire absent Jesus Christ. You have the fear of the Lord, as Proverbs 14:27 said, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. And you'll long to know him better as you go on your walk. After putting your trust in Jesus, though, you're probably not quite ready at that point to write a book like Proverbs on wisdom. But over the on the next page, if you look at Proverbs 2, the first six verses will certainly help you in your quest of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. So, if you receive my words, Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He ate the word of God. He didn't taste it. He didn't just kind of look at it. He ate it. He devoured it. If you treasure my commands, Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches like treasure, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The treasure that we have of having God's word that we can go to at any point in time. If you have something of great treasure in your hand, you look at it and you adore it. You inspect it, you study it, and you guard it. You don't toss it away flippantly. You put great value on the treasure that's in your hand. And that's how we're to look at God's word, to treasure it. If you incline your ear to wisdom, Proverbs 1:33 says, "But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." You want to listen whenever you can. Take it in. Meditate on his word and on his principles. Thinking of inclining your ear, you think of somebody that's just straining because they're hearing something that they really want to take in. They want to make it their own. So incline your ear to wisdom. If you apply your heart to understanding, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Diligence in your application of Scripture. Looking at the context, having Scripture interpret Scripture. When you apply your heart to understanding, you know, if it's, you need to look at the source. Who is the source? What's the source? If it's not the Bible, you need to check it with the Bible. If you cry out for discernment, James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Solomon in 1 Kings 3 recognized his shortcomings as a young king. He said to God some amazingly humble words. He says, "I know I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in." That's humility. He could have then asked God, "Give to me honor and riches, strength, stature, because I'm so young." And instead, what Solomon asked God, he says, "Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" And this greatly pleased God, this prayer. And he gave Solomon a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like him before him, nor has there been anyone like him after. Pastor mentioned it a little while ago, and I was thinking a couple Sundays ago, he was talking about prayer and why we should pray. God said to Solomon, quote, "Because you asked this thing and didn't ask for riches or power, I have given you wisdom." So it kind of makes me wonder, gee, if he hadn't prayed that way and instead he had asked for riches and power, you know, maybe our verse of the month would have been in a different book, huh? Perhaps. If you search for her as hidden treasure, Acts 17:11, talking of the Bereans, says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and then daily they searched the scriptures to find out whether these things were so. It's a treasure hunt, as if we're searching for hidden treasure. Treasure hunts are never just put off till tomorrow. If you have an idea where there's some treasure, you're there now, right? And you're looking for it. You're trying to find it. It's not often simple. If it's simple, somebody would have got there before you. But you seek and you study and you search out knowledge and understanding. And that takes diligence in the quest. In chapter 2 again, 5 and 6, if those things, if you do those things, you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The second half of our verse tonight, Proverbs 1:7, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why? Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in their own heart, there is no God. And Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So for each of you, with that simple verse, think of you as parents and as husbands and as wives and children, teens, young adults, young families. Maybe you're an employer, maybe you're an employee. There's a ton of questions out there, right, in your daily walk. What do you do in raising your children, disciplining your children, educating your children? When your children are at school, when you're at work, all the different conflicts that can be there in your marriages, for all of life's difficulties. So my prayer for you would be the same as Paul prayed for the Colossians. In chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, with all wisdom, with all spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. With that, Pastor.